Friends, please turn in the Word of God to Isaiah chapter 26. As we read together, I want to pick up as our text verse 3 of the Isaiah's prophecy and chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And also the words of verse 12, "Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us." It's the subject of heavenly peace for restless souls and restless hearts that I want us to think about. Here Isaiah says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." This promise, friends, was given in the darkest period of Israel's history, so it may well prove to be a special help to us today, when we are surrounded by much gloom, when we are surrounded by much depression and anxiety, and when we are constantly threatened with the three great enemies of doubt and of fear and of worry. These are the things that come after us day by day in different ways. They come after us, and we find that the world around us, our neighbors, our colleagues, our family members also are suffering with this matter. Lack of peace, filled with anxious care, filled with confusion, filled with uncertainties. This is the world in which we are living in. But where is the answer? The answer is found in our God. Jehovah, the God of the Scriptures, gives us the answer for this. This is the state of many hearts, friends. But why are there doubts? Why are there fears? Why are there worries, you might ask? What is their source? The Bible tells us that this spirit of fear does not come from God. It's not God who sends the spirit of fear in people's hearts. It's the result of the guilt of sin. And what we find around us, all the bad things that happen, all the evil things that happen, it is the result of sin. We are living in a fallen world. We are living in a world that has rejected God, has thrown God out, as it were, at least from their minds. You see, we can't throw God out at all, but in people's minds, in people's attitudes, they don't have any regard for God. God is not all in their thoughts, the Bible says. And so what replaces that is sin and the results of sin, what comes after sin. You see, then sin, like chains, bring a person into bondage, and that may be your case at the moment. And that's why, my friends, this morning we are preaching about peace, peace which only Jesus Christ brings in the gospel. Sin brings a weight with it and weighs us down, weighs our soul down. It crushes life. Even though the person might be saying that they are happy, maybe you say, "Oh, I am happy. Oh, I'm enjoying life." Maybe that is the case. And many people would say that when they are amongst other people. But friends, a person who is not converted, a man who is unconverted, is never free, and he is never at peace in his soul. He falls from one sin into another sin, one trouble into another trouble, and there is no peace. Sin is like a slave master. And we read in the Word of God, in the letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, this is about converted Christians. This is about true, real Christians who've come to know God. This is what we read. For you Christians have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You've not received this spirit which binds you, which brings you into some sort of bondage. And this bondage is a bondage of fear, fearful bondage. And he says, you have not received that kind of a fear because you have been saved. You are Christians. God has saved you. But ye, he says, you have received the spirit of adoption. The the spirit of adoption, you have been brought into a family of God. So you have nothing to fear because you're part of God's family by grace, and whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have a heavenly Father now who hears us. That's what the Bible tells us to the Christian. Are you adopted into God's family by faith in Jesus Christ? When all is going well, my friends, when all the skies are bright, it is easy to read verses like this, to read words from the Bible, and it is very easy to read it in a very superficial way. But when there are trials in our lives, when there are disappointments in our lives, when there are fears and alarms come into our lives, and the sun is hidden, then these words become precious to us, to the Christian. When alarms and disappointments and darkness and illness comes into the life of a non-Christian, everything becomes black. They have no hope. They are filled with fear. But in the life of the Christian, these words become wonderful to them. They become words of comfort to them. Friends, there is no promise anywhere in the Bible which encourages us to believe that while we are in our earthly bodies, we may experience freedom from trouble. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that this world is a world filled with trouble because of sin. But there is something far better that the Bible gives us, that God has given to us, and that is the promise of peace in the midst of trouble. The promise of peace in the midst of the trouble. And that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of salvation is a message of peace. Peace with God. Peace with the one that we have offended. You see, our sin has offended God. And yet, this very God whom we have offended, He gives us a message of peace this morning. Of what value would freedom from trouble and sin and guilt be if we have no inward peace? Yet how wonderful it is, my friends, that in the midst of the fiercest battle, and while the storms are at their heights, the soul that trusts in Jesus Christ may experience inward peace, a deep down calm, and a quiet confidence. So our subject this morning is heavenly peace for restless hearts. And I want to open it up with simply two things, or three things. The blessing offered. Here we have a blessing offered. That's number one. Number two is the way that peace comes, the way peace comes. And then the third thing is the conditions of peace, the conditions of peace. So first of all, we want to think about the blessing offered to us in this text, which is perfect peace. Look at verse 3 of Isaiah 26 again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, we are told. What is the great blessing that is offered to us, that is given to us here in this promise? It's described as perfect peace. But what is perfect peace? What is it? If you were to answer that question and define what is perfect peace, what would you say? Can you define it? Can you explain it? Yes, it is a condition of freedom from disturbance within the soul. It is perfect harmony reigning within. The Hebrew word here is shalom. Shalom. It has in it the idea of soundness of heart. It has the idea of health, spiritual health. So that to be filled with perfect peace is to be spiritually healthy and free from all unrest and all disharmony within the soul. It would be free from all of that. That's what shalom is. That's what perfect peace is. Friends, I don't need to tell you that we are living in a world that is not peaceful, but sinful world. And so what we find is amongst people. You find jealousy, you find envy, you find discontent, you find uncontrolled temper, you find selfishness, you find pride or intolerance, which are all sin against God. Sin brings, you see, disturbance in us and around us. Sin brings disturbance in this world. But more than that, the reason for those things is that essentially sin, it is an attack on God, on the nature of God, and disobedience of His commands. The peace which God gives, however, the peace which we by His grace may experience is very practical. And it is none other than a great calm which He commands. God commands peace in the heart of those who trust in Him. God commands peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was on that boat on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a great storm that came, and they were nearly drowning. The water was coming in. These practiced and skilled fishermen could not save themselves. They were filled with fear. They were crying out. And yet, what do we find our Lord Jesus Christ do? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Creator of all things, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in control of all things, we read, He arose in Mark 4 and verse 39, He arose and rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind that was pushing them this way and that way. And He said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This is what Christ does. This is the word of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, through His work, He comes to us with His word, and He says into the sinner's heart, Peace, be still. I don't know what is going on in your life, but I know that this world is filled with discontent. This world is filled with depression. This world is filled with sadness, and all of it is because of sin. People don't want to accept it, but this is the answer, the only answer the Bible gives us. And God calls the peace which He gives perfect peace to us. This world needs God's peace. But in what sense is this perfect peace? In what sense is it perfect? It is perfect in its quality, friends. In its quality, this is perfect peace. That is to say, it is perfect in the kind of peace it is. You see, there are imperfect peace. There is such a thing as an imperfect, faulty, flawed, inadequate peace. For example, we sometimes say ignorance is bliss. The peace of ignorance. When we imagine that all is going well, whereas, in fact, if our eyes were open to see the truth, we would know that all is not well. We would see that there is something growing, there is something under the skin, there is something else happening, and we are blinded to it, we are ignorant of it. Yes, ignorant is bliss, but it is faulty, it is imperfect peace. We read in the prophecy of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14, that there are certain people who will come and He will be preaching. There are certain religious leaders who will be coming, and they will be saying this, peace, peace. There are all kinds of individuals who will come and say, well, we don't need God. God disturbs our lives. God tells us what to do, and we don't want anyone to have rule over us. I want to be my own God. I want to do my own thing. And so they say, peace, peace. Your life needs to be filled with peace. And yet the Bible says, where there is no peace. There are those who say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. The man, the woman, the boy, the girl, who doesn't realize that without salvation, without forgiveness of sin, then any good works or any good feelings that we might have is not going to be counted by God as good. That is false peace a person has, who says, well, I am doing good, I'm doing giving to charity, and they don't realize that none of those things count in the sight of God for our salvation. It is a false peace and only ends in depression. It only ends in hardness and disappointment and anger and fear. And that's what we see around us. So people who say, we don't want God, I want peace in my life from God. I want to have peace from God. That's what people are saying. And yet what do we find? Greater amount of people who are on all kinds of medication to numb their minds. Greater amount of people who are looking elsewhere for peace. Trying to imagine that troubles don't exist. Trying to be positive thinking about things. What do we find? Yet still they are disappointed at the end of the day. They still come back to the same old things again and again. Now, we want to be sensitive. We want to recognize that people struggle with all kinds of things. But my friends, there are many who reject God and they find themselves with all these other things. Still, there is no peace in their lives. Those who trust in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, those who trust in anything other than the death that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, might at times have peace of ignorance, but it is not perfect peace. There is also the imperfect peace of stagnation. You see, you have a pool of water that may be calm and peaceful, but underneath it is foul, it is green with slime. And many men and women who they have a peace like that, it's a stagnated peace. And one day the shock of God's judgment will stir up their pool and they will find that they have no real peace at all. And there is the dead peace, which you find in cemeteries and you find in graveyards. There is a lack of life there. Oh, a person's life might be filled with things and activity, but spiritually there is no peace because there is no spiritual life there. There is also the imperfect peace of dependence, which is the peace which is dependent upon something or someone else, a person. And this, my friends, won't satisfy either, because the thing may fall and fail. The person may die or become ill. The person that you are seeking to have peace with them or in that very thing, it is not perfect peace. There are those who are hoping that their job, their health, their family, and some other thing in their life is going to continue, and that is the source of their comfort. That is the source of their joy in their life. They think that that will last and they don't need any other peace or hope. But have you seen someone whose life is shattered? All that they hoped for is lost. In a moment, it is all gone. Then where is their peace? Maybe that's been your experience. Friends, don't listen to the voices and statements that the world makes. The world makes all kinds of statements, but is it a peaceful world? Are we living in a peaceful society and government? There are people who say, well, I have studied philosophy, I have studied various religions in the world, I don't believe in the Bible and the message of the gospel. Friends, worldly philosophy is like being in a dark room and looking for a black cat. That's what worldly philosophy is. You're in a dark room and you're looking for a black cat. You will never find it. You're just asking questions, but never coming to real answers. That's what you have with worldly philosophy and worldly ideas. There is always uncertainty. And then there is the pseudoscience claims that people make, like they say, well, there is a big bang. I don't need God in my life because we know science has answered and we know that there was such a thing as a big bang. That's what they claim. And yet there is not so much of a proof about these things. It's a faith statement. Or they talk about evolutionary origin of life and They speak about humanism. And yet they don't have real answers. Those very people who make these claims, their life is filled with anxiety and despair. And that is like being in a dark room and believing that that's all that there is. That's all they see. This is all that they see in this world. Because you see, the door in that dark room is locked and they can't get out. None of that, my friends, brings peace to the anxious, fearful, and guilty, sinful soul. But in contrast, with these kinds of imperfect peace, God's peace is perfect, as you have it here. God's peace is perfect. You see, it's perfect in its quality. That is to say, there is right amount given that meets our exact needs. God meets our need exactly. It is perfect amount. It is like God's grace that He gives to save sinners. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. It is sufficient and it's enough for you. I will give you enough grace for each day, enough help for each day, enough hope for each day. I will fill your cup to the full, to the brim." The psalmist says, "My cup runneth over." There is plenty that God gives poor sinners who trust in Him. The literal wording of perfect peace is simply peace, peace in the Hebrew. It's double peace. This is very significant when you think about the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. For there we are told that this double peace is peace of heart and it is peace of mind. That is the kind of peace that we need, a peace which garrisons, which surrounds, which protects our minds and calms our heart. That's what we need. And the peace of God, Paul says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's perfect in its quantity. This double peace is also double in the sense that it is peace with God and the peace of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. This is peace with God. We read this in the Bible in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we, that is the Christian, that is the believer, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have peace with God. That's what you need. And it comes through being justified by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. By trusting in Jesus Christ, God counts us as righteous. That's what justification is. It is act of God's free grace whereby he pardons and he accounts us as righteous in his sight. That's what justification is. He declares us that this man, because of his faith in Jesus Christ, I count him as righteous. His sin is dealt with. His sin is canceled. And that brings us into a state of peace with God. There is no turning back from that. But also there is the peace of God. The peace of God. And we read earlier on in Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God. The peace that comes from God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's what you need. You can't work up this kind of peace. You can't read about this kind of peace. And my friends, you cannot get this peace from within yourself. You must get it from God. It is the peace of God. And it only comes to us through Christ Jesus. So we need peace with God. Our soul is at, if it is at odds with God, we need peace with God. If we are against God, and this is how we are by nature, this is how the world is naturally. Normally, the world is against God, it has turned away from God, it gets angry when we talk about God and when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that shows that people hate God, naturally speaking, and that hatred must be settled. There must be reconciliation. There must be peace with God. And this is why God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die and to pay the price of our sins. You see, God demands in His justice that you and I, because we have offended Him, we must be punished. We have broken His law. We must be punished. And He sends His Son because He has loved us so much. So that God, instead of judging and condemning sinners like us, when we believe on Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sins, when we run to Him, He receives us and He forgives us and He justifies us in His sight. We have right standing with Him. We have peace with God. And then He fills us with His peace. We have then peace of God. But also this peace is perfect peace. It's because of its constancy, because of its constancy. What do I mean by that? Of its constancy. That is to say, it is permanent. It is a constant peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. It doesn't fluctuate. It's not sporadic. It's not irregular. It's not infrequent. It's a constant peace that He gives us. We can go to Him again and again and again, and Jesus Christ gives us His peace. Thou wilt keep, it says. That's the promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. It is without change. It is without any kind of alteration. When we have peace with God, we don't go into war with God anymore or lose that forgiveness. We have peace. So it is constant. It is perfect peace. Think on these things, my friends. Now we move on to the second point that I wanted us to think about. So the first point is the blessing that is offered, which is perfect peace. And secondly, I want us to think about the way of peace, the way peace comes to us. How does this perfect peace come to us? Well, we have touched on that a number of times already, but let us emphasize this. How does it come to us? By Jesus Christ. That's how it comes to us. You see, you can trust in all kinds of other things. Peace doesn't come to you. But the only source of peace, true peace, real peace, is through Jesus Christ. Again, look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. I'll read it to you. And notice that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the channel through whom the peace of God flows into the sinner's soul. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds. Through what? Through Christ Jesus. This peace within is the possession of the Christian alone, those who have put their trust in Christ alone. There is no peace for anyone who doesn't have Christ and who is not resting on the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. If you are not depending on the blood of Christ to save you, if you are not trusting in the fact that Jesus died for sinners on the cross, then you have no peace. That's the reason why you don't have peace. It is the blood of Jesus Christ which brings peace within. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, we read this, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." Having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's what He has done. Peace with God. To those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation and trusting that His shed blood was to pay their sin debt, to them the Lord Jesus Christ says this. And it's recorded in John chapter 14 and verse 27. He says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Do you see what the Lord Jesus says? Peace I leave with you. It is something that He leaves with us. It stays with us. It's constantly with us. It continues with us. It is with us. Wherever we go, it is with us. Peace I leave with you. It doesn't matter if you're alone by yourself somewhere, if you have lost a loved one, if people have discouraged you, disappointed you, have left you, if you have lost something. This peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ stays with you. Because you see, you are not depending for your salvation. You are not depending for your eternity and eternal soul on these things. But you're looking beyond these things. And it is looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gives you that peace. And He says it is His peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is not worried. He is not concerned. And He says, this is not the kind of peace that the world gives. Not as the world giveth. What kind of a peace does the world give? It's just empty bubbles. It's passing peace that the world gives. It's temporary peace. It's faulty peace that the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the Lord Jesus Christ gives us peace. That's how we get peace. But also the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God gives us peace. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ procured, He obtained peace for us upon the cross of Calvary. And that peace comes to us through Him as the channel. But it is conveyed, it is brought to our hearts, it is brought to our minds, it's applied to us, it's laid upon our wounds and our fears by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you were to read Galatians 5 and verse 22, this is what you read. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit gives and brings forth is peace to our hearts. He's called a comforter. And as the Holy Spirit fills and floods our lives, so He produces this wonderful fruit within us, peace. But also there is something else. By God's word, we receive peace. This is the word of peace. The Bible is called the word of peace. It is the testament of peace. It is the covenant of peace to our souls. There's a great promise in Psalm 119 and verse 165 that I'll read to you. This is a promise that is made to all those who trust in the Lord. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the great peace have they which love thy law. You love the word of God, the law of God, and you have great peace. And then it says, and nothing shall offend them. That word offend, it means to stumble, to make you fall. Nothing will cause you to fall into despair, fall into worry, fall into fear. Friends, things and people can so often disturb us and even cause us to stumble. But here is the promise of perfect peace to those people who love and who meditate in and obey the Word of God. This is what the New Testament tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Those things that were written previously, that is the words in the Old Testament part of the Bible. They are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So through learning them and through patiently studying them and waiting upon God, and it says, and comfort of the Scriptures. The Bible gives us comfort to our souls. That's why it should be your daily food. That's why you should be meditating upon it. That's why you should be hearing the Word of God preached to you faithfully, day by day. The world needs faithful, clear preaching of the Word of God. This is the message of peace that we preach to you. The message of the gospel. And then finally, my friends, let me finish with this. The conditions of peace. The conditions of peace. And there are two forms of conditions here that are mentioned in order that we may have perfect peace. You want to have perfect peace? These are the two things that you are to fulfill. Who is it that God will keep in perfect peace? It is the one, number one, whose mind is stayed on thee, it says. Whose mind is stayed on thee. That is, the person's mind is steadfast upon the Lord. Now, is your mind staying on the Lord? Is your mind constantly going back to God? Going back to His promises? Going back to the gospel? Is your mind staying and rejoicing and thinking about what Jesus Christ has done for sinners like us? You see, friends, the problem with us, the problem with our world, is that we are not thinking about God very much. We are not thinking much about His involvement in our life. People don't think much that they need to get right with God. And so their mind is not stayed on God. And maybe that is you. Maybe after a sermon is preached, some of you who are brought up in Christian homes, some of you boys and girls who are growing up, and I fear for your soul, because what I see is that that you are not seeking the Lord. You are not thinking that I must be right with God, and you're just going from week to week, and you're going through and doing your studies, and you're looking into your future and what you might be doing, and you might see you trying to enjoy your life, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But one thing I don't see is that your mind going to the Lord, your mind staying on the gospel, thinking about the gospel, and taking it for yourself. There are lots of distractions, and parents don't help their children either with the distractions that they bring into their children's lives. And we have to be so mindful of the technology that is around us, that all this notification, our phones are constantly ringing this and notifying of that. And there's very little time to think and to be constant on one thing, to be focused on one thing. So you might watch the news. You might look at the headlines. You might flick at this and at that. And you might press this app and that app. You might watch a little of a YouTube clip. And even for some people, they would watch a part of a sermon, and after about 2 minutes, they would watch something else. And even for me, as I look to see the people who have viewed the sermons online, you see that it gives you an average amount that people watch. And it does not last for the whole of the service. So people might watch the message for 10 minutes, and then they're distracted with something else, and they move on to something else. Is that you? Could this be true of you? They would move on to another thing. And you see that on our gadgets, that we can move on, flick from this video and this image to another one. There are apps that are made just for that. Instagram and such things. It's just for short clips. And you move from this to that, and you don't stay upon one thing. But here it says that we are to have our minds stayed on the Lord. We are called here to stay upon the Lord. Even reading the Word of God, reading the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, even reading a Christian tract or Christian book is too much for people's concentration. And you may just switch off and look at your phone while listening to a sermon. Then we have the millennial generation and the current youth who are filled with all kinds of anxiety. You have the current culture of the youth who are filled with depression and all kinds of mental health issues. I read just last week that suicide rate has shot up greatly amongst the young, 18-year-olds and so on. And 25% rise in suicide within just 3 months. It is amazing. Are you surprised at this? Do you want to continue in this way? Friend, I would say every Lord's Day, switch everything off and think for a while on what Jesus Christ is saying. Every day, have a time that you think for a while what Jesus Christ says to you. Listen to your own soul and see how empty and how dark and how sinful it is. See that you need to be saved. Who is it that God will keep in perfect peace? It is the one whose mind is stayed on Him. And then also secondly, it is the one who trusts in Him. Look at it again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Both these expressions, they denote, they imply, they mean faith, they mean trust. But whereas one is headward for our head trust, the other is a heart word. And where is the difference? You see, with our head, we believe. With our hearts, we trust. With our head, we believe that God is the author of peace. With our head, we believe that Jesus Christ has come into this world and the giver of peace. But with our hearts, we trust in Him. We trust in His promises. We take Him as our Savior and Lord. One concluding word, my friend. Notice that Isaiah 26 and verse 3 begins with God and ends with God. It begins with thou and it ends with thee. And my friends, the trusting soul goes in between that, between God. Perfect peace is by faith to get between these two words and to stay there, to stay in the Lord. Perfect peace is the Lord Himself within us, not an experience, not merely a doctrine, a teaching, or an it, but the Lord Himself. And then as the hymn writer puts it, when we are stayed upon Jehovah, our hearts will be fully blessed. And then, and only then, shall we find that He has promised perfect peace and rest. My friends, Jesus Christ said that He is the one who gives peace. He is the one who leaves peace with us. Not the peace which the world gives, but the peace with God. Peace in the soul. Peace of knowing that our sins are forgiven. Peace of having eternal life. Peace of knowing the purpose of life. Peace of knowing our future. Peace of God. Have we that peace? Have you this peace? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Amen.